Well, if you'll open your Bibles, please, to the first few verses that Stuart read to us. I want to just give emphasis on one of these statements of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. And the theme this evening is resolving conflict and how God resolves conflict in our lives, but also how God directs and uses conflict in our lives as Christians. So Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, one of those sayings of the Lord says in verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." So the words of Jesus predicate the reality that we live in a world of conflict, wars and rumors of wars, social unrest, also conflict within families, conflict within churches. You know, I was reading recently that the Times in London once sent a letter to six academics in London asking them, what is the problem of the world? And the shortest one was from G.K. Chesterton, who said, "I am." And that basically, for Christians this evening, speaks the reality of something that we've all got to face in ourselves first. Conflict that exists, a conflict that is something that is continual. It says in Romans that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness in man. So God's wrath is revealed from heaven. Man, by his sin and his rebellion, is separated from the life of God, separated from his life under the judgment and wrath of God. So we all need peace with God. To be a peacemaker, we need to know the God of peace, the great reconciler, the one who brings peace to men, the one who brings salvation to us. So we cannot be a peacemaker or peacemakers unless we know the God of peace, the one who has made peace on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, enduring the wrath of God that we deserve. And through faith in him, being justified through faith, we have peace if through our Lord Jesus Christ. Recently, a man died in Japan. He was, I think, 93 years of age. And he lived 30 years on an island in one of the Philippine islands. He was a soldier in the Second World War and continued to fight for 30 years afterwards. He wouldn't believe the war was over. They dropped leaflets on him, telling him it was finished, all hostilities had ceased, so come out the jungle. He spent 30 years of his life popping out now and again to take a shot at somebody. A number of people went to find him and found him and said, the war's over, it's finished, come out. But he still didn't listen. Until finally someone had the idea to send his commanding officer. And his commanding officer went all the way from Japan with his authority as his commanding officer, and he said, "The war is over." And he immediately surrendered and came out. Do you know what I want to ask you all individually? Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? God sent his Son and he can speak peace to you. You might have the conflict and the arrest of conscience of your sin, and you're fighting and you continue to fight and you still have not believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for you personally, that he was risen from the dead historically, that this is a divine reality. God has made peace for us, and all we have to do by faith is believe the testimony, the authority of the Son of God, and he can say, "Peace be to you today." Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you got the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your own life that you are saved, that you are converted? That is the conflict that we all first need to settle with God. Do you have peace with God? Can you say you have a peace abiding in your life and heart? You have a peace with your conscience? That you know that all your sins, not in part, but the whole, were nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all my soul. And what is the result of that? What comes flowing forth is peace and joy. So the conflict that Jesus is speaking of, peacemakers in a world of conflict, the work of Christ initially not is to come and save the nation, but to save each one of us individually and to make us peacemakers as Christians. But God does not take away, think of our lives as believers, the conflict that we face in this world. You may have conflict today. Conflict in your marriage. Conflict in the church. But God often uses these things, you see, to show us our own need of His grace. You know, I think it was Matthew Henry who said that God permits trials and tribulations to strengthen our graces. So God roots us in Christ. But this work of grace of salvation is a process. From beginning to end, we are justified, we are being sanctified, and we will be glorified. So all this is the great purpose of God. We're reconciled to God. We have peace with God. But also God wants to make us peacemakers, as He is a peacemaker. Remember the disciples on the Sea of Galilee? And that great storm has risen up and all the waves are entering into the boat. And there's the Lord asleep. Content. And His disciples full of what? Joy? Faith? Well, if we put ourselves in their situation. Anxiety. Fear. Doubt. Even unbelief. Waking the Lord. Lord, care is not that we perish. And the Lord said, where is your faith? You see, it's not the taking away. Said, where is your faith? Do you realize who is in the boat with you? Am I not in total, absolute control of this situation? And could they not also have rested in the storm also? So Jesus does not take away trials and tribulations. The beginning of James, he says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you are cast into different trials and tribulations, for these things produce patience in us. So how we respond to that by faith, we need to understand the gospel. We need to understand the work of Christ on our behalf. All He has accomplished for our salvation. We can't be peacemakers without knowing God. And we cannot help others unless we have a grasp of the gospel, that we're saturated in the Word of God. And that we can help others in their needs. Every source of conflict and suffering we know ultimately goes back to the fall. Every type of suffering. The historicity of Adam's fall, being created in the image of God at the beginning. We know that the Son of God, the second Adam, has come to overcome sin and death and to bring liberty to the captives. So to be a peacemaker, you must know the God of peace personally. And you must know the divine remedy for human sin and suffering. And you must know the gospel and how to apply it to each individual. So I just want for a few moments just us to consider how we as Christians can be resolvers of conflict in our own personal lives. For it is to that which Jesus calls us. And for that reason we read just a couple of verses in James 1 verse 19. What does it say? Be quick to speak. Listen. So behind the command here is the need of a spirit of humility. For you to swallow. But to listen means to say that you're certainly suggests, if you're really listening or I'm really listening, you want to help the other person by listening to them carefully. And if we all listened carefully, tried to put ourselves into the situation of the other person, to try to engage with that person, to try and understand their position, whether it be individually or whether it be in a church situation. Talking to a pastor recently, and he told me the meetings that he most dreaded were church meetings. How sad. But if we listen and have a spirit of engagement, a spirit of love, a spirit of helpfulness, instead of many Christians so often being entrenched in their own personal views and ideas or their personal traditions. So we need to listen to be peacemakers, as so often many Christians are like in their own personal trenches and then become Christian snipers so often. We need to listen, to examine our own position and engage with others. So often with us there's an instant defense mechanism that springs into action, our own personal pride. But often the Lord uses conflict to change our lives as well. That's been an experience I've found personally in various areas of conflict and trial. The Lord has used that to show areas in my life where I need to change. You know, often a difficult person, whether in a church or difficult persons in a fellowship, gives you the opportunity to love and show compassion and show care to these people. To listen. Be quick to listen. At the back of that is a spirit of humility. And not to run away from conflict, as many Christians do, sadly, but fighting through prayer and intercession, and be able to see changes in works or in churches or in our own personal situation. So whether it's conflict in the church, listening, also listening means that you need to pray. You need to listen to the person. You know, when Nehemiah once was before the king and wanting to go to Jerusalem, as he was listening to the king, he was shooting up prayers to the Lord for guidance and for wisdom. So to listen is also to pray, and also to realize that you cannot change the situation. You need the grace of God and you need wisdom from on high. So listen means to be quiet and to seek the Spirit of God and the Lord's guidance. Neither do you want to give the wrong advice or speak hastily to a situation. You know, when people speak quickly, they just want to get their point of view over. And they just hastily speak because they think they have all the answers and their position is secure. We need a spirit of humility. Listen to other Christians when there's a difficulty in a church. Listen. Try to understand where they're coming from instead of being entrenched. But a spirit of humility and prayer. Lord, guide me in this. Guide us in this situation. Also, to listen means that I perhaps need to be corrected. Perhaps I need to be corrected. I need advice. I need guidance. And this is a spirit that will so often resolve many conflicts amongst Christians. Be quick to listen. And that would be advice, and sadly, many churches split or many churches go through so many difficulties because of this unwillingness to listen and to engage and to understand. Be willing to listen. When we look at the life of Christ, he was continually, when he was on this earth, so engaging, so immensely approachable. And so often, if you read the New Testament, even his disciples many times would prevent people from coming to the Lord. Prevent children or prevent people crying out. But Jesus always, always received people, listened to them, ministered to them. And the church, should it not be engaging and approachable? So often churches, sadly, can be so disengaging in one sense from the world. Is there a desire to reach out into the community in various churches? And so often, sadly, there's often a disengagement from other Christians. But surely, if we are Christians, we want to be engaging, we want to be approachable, and we want to encourage the body of Christ wherever the Lord's body is. One of my close friends that I have a lot of contact with is a pastor in the United States. He's not from our group of churches, and would differ on me on many, many points of view. But he's such a gracious man that we're able to communicate, able to share. I'm able to share with him and drop a seed in into his thinking. But there's engagement, there is fellowship. He's not 100% thinking as I do, But I find much help, and I'm sure he receives much help from myself. There's a two-way engaging, listening, iron sharpens iron, and a desire to learn from others, to listen. So I think when we've been anointed by the Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we should be quick to listen, quick to seek the guidance of the Lord, and that the Lord would take away so often the pride that there is in our lives. So listen means also to pray. But also acts of love and mercy can so often disarm evil and bring about peace and harmony. To be a grace minister, I don't mean pastors and ministers, we're all grace ministers. We should all be grace ministers, ministering grace to others. But acts of love and mercy. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who evilly persecute you. I was reading a book recently of a man called Paul Tripp. Some of you might have read some of his books. But when he was a young pastor, he was living in a block of flats with his young wife, and they had two young children. And there was a lady in their apartment that made their life a misery. They were just, day after day, she was causing them so much harm as a family. Anyway, one day, his wife, she liked to bake, and she baked some cakes. So she had the cakes on a tray, and she was just going out the door, and her husband said, cakes to Betty. What? You're going to take some cakes to her after all she's done to us? And he was saying, honestly, as a young pastor, he had no desire at all that his wife would make such an act of love and mercy towards this lady. So she goes upstairs and she knocks on her door, hands over the cakes, and this lady's jaw dropped. Why would she, after she committed so much evil towards their family, would she make the effort and show such an act of kindness? But the day after, the lady knocked on their door, burst into tears, repented of her sin and her evil, and then even she was able to open her heart to them as to what she was going through. Just through one act of love and mercy brought peace. That lady was a peacemaker in a situation of conflict and torment. So acts of love and mercy the Lord can so often use in using us as peacemakers. So conflict gives us the opportunity to show the grace of God, to show the love of God, to show the compassion of Christ, not to disengage, but to engage, and to go the second mile, as Jesus said. You know, as a Roman soldier could get hold of somebody and get a person to carry their bags for a mile, well, Jesus said, go the second mile. Go the second mile. I was reading or listening to Joseph Ton a few months ago, and he was sharing of his experience when he was tortured in the prison and was suffering so much for that time when the communist government was in power there. And he tells the incident of when the authorities came to his home, the police knocked on his door, came into his house to take all his books, all his precious books. You think pastors who've gathered their books together for years and years, and in come the police to take his books. And while they're taking the books away, Joseph Ton says, well, would you like a cup of tea and biscuits? Now that is supernatural grace, is it not? But he was saying, and so often how, in his experience, he was saying how these acts of love and mercy change people in a situation where evil was dominant. So these situations that the Lord casts us into in times of conflict, times of trials, we should not be discouraged by conflict, but we should be able to use them as an opportunity to show forth the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you might know somebody tonight who you wouldn't take round a plate of cakes. Or perhaps somebody you could think of, perhaps you've had a disagreement or a separation in some way, Perhaps an act of mercy will go a long way to bring reconciliation. Because do we deserve today all the multiplied blessings of the Lord upon our lives? Do we deserve even to take the next breath that we take? No, God pours out upon us His grace continually. And so we should pour out and be instruments in His hands. You know, there's a place in the place called the Colca Valley. Trevor enjoyed that so much. We went there for a couple of days. And in the altitude there, there's a plant that grows and gives oil in adverse conditions. It doesn't grow where everything's good or the climate. It grows in adverse conditions, in high altitude. But it gives oil to cook. And you know, you can pour forth, by the grace of God, the oil of His Spirit in times of conflict, in times of trial, and an opportunity to show forth the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts of love and mercy and kindness. Perhaps you know somebody tonight, or perhaps something that's happened in your experience. But conflict often reveals and exposes our own faults as Christians. The Lord often uses them to show the areas where we need to change in our life. You know, when you're in a situation where everything seems rosy and there's not such a great need to put forth such patience that James speaks of. You know, if you saw me driving here in England, if you was in the car with me for a short time, you'd think I was quite at peace and fine. But if you was with me in a car in Arequipa, then you'd know that my sanctification is not exactly where it should be. Here, have you flashed the lights? And yes, you go forward. Flash the lights in Pruitt. I'm coming first. And they're in. So what I'm trying to say is that often conflict and difficulties reveal to us our own sinfulness. Or conflict in a church, conflict in a marriage, whatever it is. We live so often in a situation of conflict. I was reading recently of a man who was struggling with same-sex attraction. And there are many Christians who suffer this kind of trial and temptation. And he was giving his testimony of this conflict he'd faced for most of his life as a young Christian. But by the grace of God, he triumphed. By the grace of God, he's living, seeking to live a life of holiness. But he says, my identity, it's not in the conflict. It's not in my condition. My identity is in Jesus Christ. And that's where your peace and rest is, whatever your conflict is. And James also says, in regards to Christians, share with one another, pray for one another. And often Christians want to put forth a kind of show. There's a pastor in Arequipa I was chatting with recently, and he gathered a number of men together in his church, and with a desire to prepare some men perhaps for ministry in the church. But when he got to see many of these men's situations, he could see that many of them were just not in a position. There was so much conflict and different problems within their own lives. And he said the problem is, so often here, is a lack of transparency. So people will go to church on a Sunday and smile and everything's fine. And yet there were so many issues behind their own lives and experiences. So we need, as Christians as well, if we have a conflict, a problem, share that with a faithful brother, a friend, pray together, seek the Lord together, that these things might be resolved by the grace of God. So we cannot really grow in any sense spiritually unless at some point we are landed at times in deep water, in trials and tribulations. But praise God, He doesn't just throw us in and say sink or swim. The Lord is with us. He is transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. This is His purpose. That His sons, His purpose is to follow the same pattern of His Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who learned obedience through the things which He suffered. So we learn obedience through the trials, through the tribulations. We persevere, we abide in Christ, we obey His word, we seek His grace and give Him glory in the midst of these trials by His grace. So we need to listen and to have a humble spirit and to be peacemakers, whether it be in the home or in the church. Another one that can cause conflict at times is unrealistic expectations in our lives. You know, marriage is a blessing, isn't it? You know, some people have said, and they've said to me in the times, well, we've lived together 60 years and never had an argument. Well, I thought, well, perhaps they never had any opinions, or perhaps the husband was pottering around an allotment or a greenhouse for most of his earthly existence. But most of us that are in the earth, us normal human beings, there are times of conflict, aren't there? You know, one of the, in my own personal experience and our experiences, one of the bedrocks of marriage is forgiveness. Many times I'll have to say to my wife, forgive me, love. And the grace of God is restored. It's listening. It's also bringing restoration. And not to have unrealistic expectations. God, there are times when there are two people who are naturally the same. But God does put people who are very, very different together and brings them together. And by his grace molds them together. And there's something wonderful, you know, about obtaining victories. You know, think about a warrior who's got scars through the battles and he sits down and he relates all the victories he's been able to accomplish. Or the sailing ship and it comes out of a hurricane and its sails are battered and it's there and it's going towards the port. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, by the grace of God, the Lord has brought us through. We have prevailed. And even the Lord has used difficulties in our own lives to bring his grace to bear upon us. It's often that those who are most gifted as marriage counselors or in any other areas in giving advice are those who have themselves been through conflict and been able to manage their lives and they've got something to teach others because they've been there. They've been there and they're able to instruct others and to help others of things they have gone through. I was only reading recently and she was taken by some soldiers and held for a number of weeks and was terribly abused. But when she returned to Scotland, and I think perhaps she's still involved in this, but she was saying that she has a particular ministry towards abused women. So there is a lady who has suffered herself but is bringing peace and help to also who have been plunged into that kind of suffering and pain. So often God, in the mystery of his providence, permits things into our lives. But yet, as Paul says in Corinthians, how we have received consolation from God. How God has helped us, we're able to help others. So unrealistic expectations. And often, churches, often in regards to pastors and their wives, you can treat them like a Swiss knife. You know what a Swiss knife is, don't you? It's got a blade for everything. You know, that the wife must be involved in everything that the church is doing. And then the danger is that we get locked into serving because of the expectations of others. And that can bring conflict into our own personal lives and family lives. You see, and then you become work-centered, not grace-centered. Trying to fulfill the expectations of others. Unrealistic expectations. So we need to fight and to win battles, overcome conflict in our own personal lives by the grace of our God. I was reading recently, you know, of a pastor who went into a hotel. He was on his own and he switched the television on. And he was on the television, there was something that was not nice at all. But just for a few seconds, he continued to watch. And then he was convicted and he switched the television off. But you see, at that point, he gained the victory. At that point, he was an overcomer, a conqueror. You know, it says in Romans, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So to be a conqueror, you have to be put in conflict, don't you? That's not the case. We are more than conquerors. The Greek word means we're superabundant conquerors by the grace of God. So that's why James could say, count it all joy Because God is producing in us patience and endurance. As Job said, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. Peter calls faith that we have precious because it's a gift of God. Faith is not maintained by us. Faith is maintained by the Spirit within us through the intercession of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Peter, when he was tempted and denied the Lord three times, and the Lord warned him and the disciples, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Praise God. Our faith will not fail because it's in the hands of Christ. This precious faith that he has given to us. I was watching recently a man on the television, you may have seen it, but he was walking across a tightrope on the Grand Canyon. And there was a wind, a high wind, and it's quite amusing, but as he was walking along like this and there was a heavy crosswind, he was saying, help me Jesus, help me Jesus. Well, he certainly needed help. But often we need help as Christians in regarding to hold a balance between what God's word teaches us in regards to sanctification and how God works in our lives. So much the emphasis is put upon what we can receive. Or do you serve Jesus for what sacrifice that you can give or what benefit you receive? And so often much ministry in these days is for what benefits we can receive personally. But is it that we might glorify the Lord? That we might grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy, peace, patience, loving kindness, and all these graces the Lord will strengthen by taking us through conflict and trials and difficulties. You know, there's once a saying many years ago that used to say, let go and let God. But you know, that's only a half truth. You know, we are exhorted in the Bible to mortify the deeds of the flesh or to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We are exhorted to abide in Christ. We're exhorted to persevere. You know, God will not put the alarm clock on for you to get up early to pray. God will not get your children together as a father to gather them together for prayer and Bible reading. That's something you must do by the grace of God and be obedient to God's word. You know, there's a verse that says that Abraham, when the Lord spoke to him and he spoke to the angels, said, shall I hide those things from Abraham, that which I do, as I know he will teach his children? Do we have a regular time with our children as families around the word of God and prayer? And sadly, often these things are neglected. And so often people, they say, oh, let go, let God. And they come back and say, well, the conflict hasn't finished. Well, the conflict will not finish until we're in glory. We have to resist temptation. We have to resist the devil. We have to mortify the flesh by the power of the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. God has given us weapons, means to gain the victory over the conflict we face as Christians in this work of sanctification of God in our lives. What are these means that God has given us? Theologians call them the ordinary means of grace. What are the ordinary means of grace? Well, prayer, reading the word of God, participating in the sacraments, gathering together as a people, as a body of Christ, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. But any person that's been used in any way in the kingdom of God has used these ordinary means of grace to do mighty things for God in his kingdom. God has given us the means. God has given us the weapons to gain the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God has called us to be peacemakers, to bring peace into situations of conflict. Instead of running away from the conflict, seeking to stay and pray and fight it through. There's an incident, one of David's warriors who stood in a field of lentils with a sword in his hand, and it said he wielded his sword until he could wield it no more, defeating the enemies of God. One man on his own gained the victory. And so can we by the grace of God. Yes, settle the main thing, which is be at peace with God. Know that your sins are forgiven. Know that there is no accusation that God will bring against us, because we are clothed in His divine righteousness. We have peace with God. And then we're in a position, having that peace ourselves, to seek to bring peace to others as well. Well, may the Lord help us to use these means of grace, and may we be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let us not be discouraged, whatever your situation is, whatever your difficulty is, whether it's a difficulty in the family, whatever the conflict may be, trust in the Lord. Live near to Him. As the Word of God says, all things work together to those who love God, who are those who are called according to His purpose. There was once a sculptor who was at a block of marble and was carving out an elephant. And the person said to him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm just knocking off everything that's not an elephant." Well, that's what the Lord does and is doing with us. Knocking off those edges, transforming us into the image of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord help us to be abundant in our giving, in our praying, and also if there are things that we need to put right with the Lord and to see others as well. May the Lord help us by His Spirit and by His power. Amen.